Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me as we continue in a series, 2 Samuel chapter 11. We went over this text of scripture and I've been recapping, reviewing some of what we've taught, but it takes so long that I have a hard time getting into the new material. And you say, well, I missed the other messages. Well, repent and then go to YouTube and you can watch them all. You can watch them on Facebook. My wife and I went into the dermatologist and they found some things on my face that they wanted to get rid of. And so they burned them off. And I have a scripture for that. If it offends you, cut it off. So it offended my face. I had it burnt off. And somebody said, what happened to your face? And I said, what happened to yours? My face is good. Pastor Karen, do you want to show them? Don't you? Pastor Karen has these on their lips. And she had some people be like, not quite sure what that is. Well, now you know. It's something that needed to be cut off and burnt off, so we did. 2 Samuel chapter 11. The text will be somewhat a review, and then we'll go on to some new material as well. So we're going to look at 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 5, 2 Samuel 11, 14 to 17. Then we're going to shoot to the new text, 2 Samuel 12. Verse 11 to 13, stand up on your feet if you're able. Let's get into it. Studies on the life of David. I've entitled it, Stay in the Battle. Stay in the Battle. New King James, 2 Samuel 11 and verse 1. It happened in the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. Say that with me. But David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked out on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her. She came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house, verse 5, and the woman conceived. So she sent and told David and said, I'm with child. Go down to verse 14 of that same chapter. In the morning it happened that David wrote a letter to Joab, sent it by the hand of Uriah. He wrote in the letter saying, sent Uriah into the forefront of the hottest battle and retreat from him, that he may be struck down and die. So it was while Joab besieged the city that he assigned Uriah a place where he knew there were valiant men. And the men of the city came out and fought with Joab, and some of the people, the servants of David, fell. Uriah the Hittite died also. We read that last time we preached on this series. New content now, 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 11. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will rise up an adversary against you from your own house. And I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor. And he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all of Israel, before the sun. So David said to Nathan, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord has also put away your sin. You shall not die. Father, move in power. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The last time I preached on this text, I preached it in a way. I've preached from this text probably 10 times plus over the years. It's a very powerful passage. Really one of the life messages I have. You know what a life message is? It's like a main message in your life. Because all the people that came out of the testimony that I have, and I'm not going to tell my testimony tonight, but most of the people that came out of the testimony that I have don't make it. Most of the people that came out of what I came out of comes out the side of their neck, backslide, blow it, flush it all away. And so I've done what I call spiritual autopsies on pastors that fall. I've done spiritual autopsies on people that throw it all away for a roll in the hay. I'm shooting high. Got children here on family night tonight. I mean, how could somebody just absolutely destroy their whole life? And there's a lot of reasons that people do it. I talked about in previous messages hedges of protection. There's four hedges of protection in the text here that David breaks. One of the main ones, just to tap it for a moment, is the hedge of protection that comes by being in the will of God. When you're in the will of God, when you're serving God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, you're on the cutting edge of the battlefield. It keeps you sharp. There's a saying, the devil will find work for idle hands to do. You're not going to find the scripture for that, but it is true. The slothfulness, laziness. Somebody said, a young person said to me, I got so touched by God. I'm like, awesome. She said, you know, the strangest thing happened, Pastor. I said, what? She says, I just don't feel like playing video games as much. Imagine that. I don't think video games are inherently sin, but you can do things to sedate yourself. You might not be smoking crack and you might be playing a lot of video games. Crack can be like a video game. Whatever hit of dopamine you're trying to get. What was it that caused David to not go out to battle? That's when kings go to battle. And if you're not in the right place where you need to be, you're setting yourself up for a whooping. You're going to break open a can of whoop. Anybody ever broken open a can? Don't raise your hand. You ever broken open for a can of whooping? You're in the wrong place, wrong time, disobeyed God. He disobeyed God. So a hedge of protection that comes by doing the right thing, by being in the right place, by being in church, by reading the word, by doing the right thing. So he didn't do that. The second thing is the second hedge is people that will tell you to shut up and sit down. So that's not very nice. Some of you need to be someone not so nice to you. If you surround yourself with people that are afraid of hurting your feelings, then you won't ever have somebody to tell you, you're on the path to destruction. My wife is not afraid of hurting my feelings. She's happy to do so, and I welcome it. You know what I mean by that? I'm not trying to say hurt your feelings for the sake of hurting your feelings, but how about waving a flag while you're on the raid of the street? Your attitude's wrong. Stop that. What are you doing? Hey, what are you doing? I got rebuked this afternoon. If you haven't been rebuked lately, you might be illegitimate. God will rebuke you. He's constantly loving you, saying, don't do that. No. And you have people in your life. Who holds your shut up card? This is just a review of a life message for me. Who's the one that can tell you, that's not God. Don't do that. Don't go. I can tell you story after story after story. And I know you want to hear one. And I want to tell you a story. A friend of mine was a pastor. He's doing very well. I mean, church is blowing up. Hundreds of people coming to the Lord. And we had this conference, and he went to that conference, and he got back from the conference, and he says to me, Pastor Daniel, I'm like, yeah. And we were close. I was like an older brother in the Lord. I wasn't a spiritual father to him, but there was an accountability. We just loved each other and prayed for each other. And he says, Pastor Daniel calls me. I said, yeah. He said, it's not Saipan. It's not Thailand. I'm going to Thailand. I'm going to Bangkok. I'm like, is that a mission trip? What are you going to Bangkok for? I'm going to become an entrepreneur. And I laughed. I literally said, in Bangkok? He said, oh, yeah, there's a gathering of entrepreneurs there. It's incredible stuff happening. It's going to be amazing. I'm resigning my church and I'm going to Bangkok. I said, really? He said, yeah. I got this word, and I'm going to go to Bangkok and become an entrepreneur. I thought, man, wow, that's intense. How do you get the Bangkok connection? Oh, I met these guys. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, I don't know if that's the Lord, bro. He said, no, it is. I said, man, I'm not feeling it. I mean, really? He's like, yeah. And he tried to convince me, tried to tell me the whole thing. And I just thought, yeah, no, I know his past. I know what he came out of. I'm thinking Bangkok's like not a good place for him to be. Bangkok's not a too good a place for anybody to be. It is one of the most perverse cities in all the world. It's horrible. May it change. So I said, I'll be praying for you. And then I just thought, what does your wife think about that? Oh, yeah, no, she's not going. I'm like, oh, no, you're messed up. You're messed up. You're messed up. Let me say, you're going to Bangkok to become an entrepreneur, and your wife's not going? Like, one of the most perverse, lust-filled places in the whole planet. He's going. Who's going with you? No one. Is your wife going? No. I said, it's not God. No, yeah, it is. I said, no, wait, why isn't your wife going? She doesn't want to go. She doesn't feel it's the Lord. I'm like, you're messing up. Don't go. He's like, I'm going. I said, if you go, you're an idiot. He said, Pastor Daniel. I'm like, okay, that's a little intense. And then I just said this, find me one man of God. Just find me one who's worth his weight. Find me one that will agree with you. And if you can find one, then I might agree with you. But just find one. Find one. Who are you accountable to? I asked him. I quizzed him. He gave me all the, on this person and this person. I said, what do they all say? They said what you said. I said, because it's not God. Don't go. He went. Where is he now? I don't even know if he's alive because his marriage is gone. His kids got wiped out. His church got wiped out. And he got entangled in some crazy perverse thing. There was an attempt at one point to see him restored, but he couldn't do that. And he's literally, I have no idea where he is. And his wife is now remarried and in ministry, serving God with all her heart. He wouldn't listen to me because I didn't really have a shut-up card. If Joab was there, David wouldn't have done it. I've taken too long. I said I wasn't going to review, and you guys just pulled it out of me right there. There's two others. It's a hedge of protection and prayer. For those of you that are taking, four hedges that he broke that you need to keep and build. One, doing the right thing, staying in the cutting edge of faith. For those of you taking notes. Two, having people around you that'll tell you to zip it and sit down if you're messed up. Like Joab would have punched him in the throat had he tried to go after Bathsheba. But Joab's gone. All he had around him was yes men. Number three, the hedge of protection that comes by prayer. All the priests are out there. And not just the priests, the ark. It's number two, the hedge of protection that comes by God's presence. If you lose your worship and prayer, then that hedge of protection is gone. Don't you miss being in prayer with God. Don't you miss seeking him every morning. Don't you miss, it provides a protection. So number one, being in the right place in God, being on the cutting edge of faith. Two, having people that will tell you to sit down when you're messed up. Number three, be in prayer. If you don't have that, you're in trouble. You got to have prayer. You got to have worship. It provides protection. And number four, the fourth hedge is the ark. Where is the David that says, one thing I will seek after, to behold the beauty of the Lord? Where is he? He's not before the ark. He's not in the shadow of the ark's wings anymore. That's not where he is. The ark is out there at battle and he's back home and he just so happens to see Chicky Chick. Bathsheba. We live in a polluted world. And David was a great warrior for God, but we see of this great sin where he blows it. And the last time I preached from this very text was powerful on the progression of sin. I would encourage you to go listen to it. It's online. It's a progression of sin that you see in James also. How sin is conceived. And when it gives birth to death when it's full blown. There's nothing you want in sin. Sin is just a wrong attempt at getting a need met or desire met. David's sin has consequences. And look at verse 14 with me. I don't think it is verse 14. I'm so sorry. But God is demeaned through his actions. Personal judgment comes on him. His son would die. You can go read about how his son, the baby that's born, dies from Bathsheba. And family judgment, a curse comes on. You know, family curses are real. Everybody say curses are real. Curses are real. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I can't be cursed. No, your theology is messed up. If you live in a way that's contrary to God's word, then you can open up a doorway for him to bring for the enemy to bring a whooping on you. And you can claim it's under the blood, under the blood, under the blood. Those are just words that have no power if your life doesn't back it up with action. I had to close a lot of doors, a lot of entry points, a lot of doors when I came to the Lord. I have every intention, fully intending, I'll never open them again in Jesus' name. There's something about the fear of the Lord. If you'll understand that God loves you, he's got a great plan for you, but you have to do your part. He won't do your part. You have to do your part. And yet time and time again, we see people like David who blow it. I mean, different ones, just flush it all. And there is a family judgment that comes down, which is crazy because God forgives him, but there's consequences. Ammon, David's eldest, and you can go read this, his son rapes his half-sister, David's daughter, and Absalom's sister named Tamar. Absalom is so angry that he murders Amnon. Absalom overthrows David. I mean, all of the things that are prophesied by the prophet Nathan, such and such and so is going to happen. Everything that David did in secret, God does openly. See, sometimes in families, you can go through things that might be a generational iniquity or even a generational curse. I heard somebody say, well, once you're in Jesus, all curses are broken. Potentially, yes. What do you mean potentially, yes? Exactly what I just said. You look in Galatians, Pastor Karen says, if they are. You look at Galatians chapter 3, he became a curse for us. So the curse is broken, but you have to do your part to not yield to that thing. And if you yield to it, then you can open up a doorway that was open in your family before. I got like a that's right. Some of you quite aren't sure. Some of you are bound by generational sin. There's lust and there's generational lust. There's lust that comes from the fallenness of mankind, clearly, but then there's a generational lust. It's like a super empowered demonic lust. That's different than regular desire and lust that would come from someone. And the curse comes on, and it's played out in David's life. Solomon, David blew it with Bathsheba. Solomon had 1,000 wives. You know, no matter what, marriage cannot solve your lust problem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, marriage doesn't solve the lust problem. Absalom overthrows David's throne, commits adultery with David's concubine, just like the prophet said. Absalom is killed in the war that ran against David's throne. He's so in love with his hair. It's hung from a tree. Hair's overrated, take my word for it. How did all this happen? I mean, how did all this happen? I do think it's a demonic trap, clearly. David had his role. There's a demonic trap. I mean, what are the chances of a woman bathing outside? Actually, I think he had his eye on her. I think he saw her before, if you understand who she is. He had to cross so many lines. I mean, Uriah, the father of Uriah, and the grandfather were all mighty men, and David's mighty men. They were all mighty. The grandfather was considered like an oracle of God. And he had to step over all of those relationships. And later on, you see the grandfather, we'll get to it, so offended. And I think he's offended because David touched his granddaughter. Touch my granddaughter. I'll come right through the phone. All the grandfather said, amen. All the grandmother said, amen. Sometimes you can be in a place where you're so offended and discouraged because you don't see fruit in ministry, so maybe you want to take a break, or you want to back away. Where are you going to go? He alone has the words of eternal life. The devil will tempt us with what I call counterfeit pleasure. Counterfeit. He's a counterfeiter. Sin has pleasure for a season. In the end, it reaps death. God is the author of pleasure. Who's the author? God is the author of pleasure. Some of your skin's crawling right now. You're like, oh, that doesn't sound... No. Can you imagine if he had to make you to copulate? All right, well, I guess we have to have kids now. No. That's not how that is. I'm going to go a little bit higher. Some of you like to copulate. What is that? You got to be liberated from inferior pleasure. A spiritually bored believer is a weak believer, somebody who's not enthralled in God, who's not in love with him and his beauty and his majesty and his word, and looks forward to his power and hearing his voice and walking with him and talking with him. Someone who doesn't have a walk like that with God, then it's easy to pull somebody like that into his Bathsheba experience. It's easy to take someone who's bored. Christianity's boring. What? Who sold you that bill of goods? Oh, it's hard to be a Christian. Really? Now, I know what hard is, and this is not it. Hard is the way of the transgressor. The life of a believer is a life of joy, a life of hope, a life of patience, a life of goodness, a life of gentleness, a life of self-control. Oh, and the payoff. Oh, there's nothing like his presence. There's nothing like him. There's no one like him. And when you get bored and you get separated from an intimate walk with God, then you'll begin to look. Your eye will begin to wander, and you begin to look for something to satisfy you. I've preached you over the years, the whole entertainment world, Hollywood. Hollywood has capitalized on the wow factor, because inside the DNA of every human, your spiritual DNA, inside every human being, you want to see the... You want to see the wow. I love action movies. Maybe love is too strong a word. I really, really like action movies. Why is that? I just do. They're cool. I like superhero movies. I like them. Why is that? I don't know. It just reminds me of the kingdom. And if you're wowed by all of that, but you're, no, I just got to go to church. What are you doing? Serving God. What are you doing? Well, I'm going to go watch the newest movie. It's dope. Bruh. Let's go. No, I'm going to serve God. There's so many people that live this half-hearted, lame, passionless, dead Christianity, and it's not God. It's not God's plan. It's not God's will. If that was better than this, I'm just telling you the way that I am wired up, and the way that Pastor Karen is wired up as well. If that was better than this, I'd probably be doing that. Bump your neighbor and say, I don't know what he just said, but this is good. Go ahead. There's counterfeits, and if you go for them, you'll never get the real thing. My wife and I were driving down to the peninsula to be with Brother Perry Stone. Worship the whole way down. Worship for hours. There just came a point where we're just weeping in God. We're on the peninsula. It's that poke your eye out straight, so I call it. It's just long straight road on the peninsula that I've gotten a ticket on before. And we're just weeping in God's presence. And I just kept hearing him say, there's more. There's more. There's more. If you come up higher, I'll show you more. There's more. There's more. There's more. And so many people settle for religiosity, settle for just a little bit of church, and don't really enter into what is called superior pleasure. At his right hand, says the psalmist David in Psalm 16, at his right hand, there's pleasure forevermore. I intend to find out what that means. I've tasted a bit. David got bored. David not in the right place. David broke all of his hedges of protection. You know how you remove darkness out of your life? You don't take a bucket and try to get buckets of darkness out of your life. You know what you do? Can you give me a total blackout? Total blackout. 5, 4, 3, 2. Well, that's close enough. Total blackout. How do you get rid of darkness? Turn, that's your cue, the lights on. That's how you get rid. If you turn the lights on in God, darkness flees. I'm going to tell you, when you take a hose and you put it in the cesspool, you put it in a septic tank, what happens to the septic water and the hose? It goes up the hose. Yeah? In fact, you can put the whole hose in and all that septic water will fill all the holes. And if you cover an end of it, you can siphon it out. I don't understand the physics of siphoning, but Brother Rob does. Well, how do you live this world? How do you live in a sewer? How do you live in the sewer of this world and keep yourself on fire? How do you live where there's so much wrong on the right, so much wrong on the left, that there's absolutely incredible perversion everywhere? How do you live in that? Turn the water on. What water? Rivers of living water will flow from your inner being, from your koileia, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. I got a nap. I feel much better tonight. Come on, somebody say amen. Man, I was tired this morning. The light coming through my blackout curtains, it don't black nothing out. I wanted to put tin foil, but my wife won't let me because she said, we'll look like growers, so you can't put tin foil on your window. Oh, pastor's growing, bumped your head. God wants to wow your heart in God. But if you're constantly wowed by the remote controller or your lust or your greed, you will never have those inferior pleasures. You'll keep, and you will never experience things in God that He longs for you to experience. So is that for everybody? Absolutely. Get hungry for God. Get thirsty for God. David had wandered. Go to Romans chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Acts, Romans. Romans 6. Verse 11. Oh my. The whole thing is amazing. Go to verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. When I understood, when I came to the Lord, I started, this started clicking. Things started clicking. I'm thinking, man, the very thing I want to do. The very thing I don't want to do, I do. The very thing I want to do, I don't do. The very thing I don't want to do, sin is right there with me. I started realizing this battle, this civil war on the inside of me, and started thinking, my gosh, man, I just want to do all those other things, but then I really don't want to do that, but then I end up doing that. Who will deliver me, says Paul, from this body of death? And I started meditating on scriptures like this. I started meditating on being crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. No longer I that live. Colossians 2, I think it is. Colossians, what is it? Yeah, Galatians something. 2:20. Thank you, Pastor Karen. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Come on, say it. I am crucified with Christ. I have been crucified. Say it. I have been crucified. Close your eyes if it helped you. I have been crucified with Christ. No longer I that live. Well, what do you have here then? This is a resurrected life. It's a new life. It's a born again life. It's a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and chapter 10. Man, I'm messing scriptures up left and right. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. I'm a new creation. I am not my old man. I'm brand new. I've been redeemed. I've been washed. I've been cleansed. The life I now live, I live under Christ. So when comes up, I'm like, ah, you're dead. Come on, talk to your old self and say, you're dead. Thank God, instead of the bride of Christ, we have the bride of Frankenstein with people living according to their fallen human nature, saying they love God. It's not the bride of Frankenstein. It's the bride of Christ. And you have to waken up. And you have to waken up. You have to wake up to the reality of who you are. There's this principle here. Look at verse 11. Oh, I got to go back to verse 7. He who died has been freed from sin. I've been freed from sin because I've been crucified with Christ. I declare it. I proclaim it. It is my reality. I'm not alive to that anymore. I've been delivered. I've been delivered from a life of sin. I do not want to sin. I don't sin on purpose. I choose to live another way because I've been born again. I've been washed. I've been cleansed. I am the redeemed of the Lord. Can somebody else say so? Man, if you would study these scriptures, you'd quit having to quote 1 John 1:9 all the time. If we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yeah. But you'll have to quote that a whole lot less if you declare you're a new creation. And then you do, I got to go verse 11. Verse 11, likewise also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, don't let sin, see, you used to be out of control, but when you come into Christ, you get a strength, you get a new spirit on the inside of you, and you don't have to yield. You're no longer a slave. You're no longer a slave to sin. Come on, say it. I am no longer a slave to sin. You need to speak these scriptures over yourself and you'll quit doing those things that you're believing to get delivered from, because he already died on a cross and you have to reckon. And it's not like, well, I reckon. No, it's not. It's reckon. It's declare. I am dead to that thing. Come on, whatever you're facing that's giving you a hard time, say it. I'm dead to that thing. Come on, say it. I'm dead to that. I mean, this really is Christianity 101. You know, I just can't stand church that has cute little leadership principles and a little topical sermon. It makes me want to puke. Because it doesn't set anybody free. Do a couple little leadership things and sunrise and sets on leadership. Let's all thank God for that. Thank you, Lord. I'm sorry. Are we going long? I don't care if I'm going long. You stay with your devils. It's not my fault. I'll be sure it's not my fault, because I'm going to teach you how to get set free and to live a life of freedom. Got somebody excited in the back row. Got to know who you are in Jesus. Got to know that. We got to know that we're the righteousness of God in Christ. Go to verse 12 and 13. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. It says, therefore, don't let sin. Don't let it. Verse 13, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness. Do we need to define members? It's your whole being. For sin shall not have dominion. Oh, my goodness. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Come on, say, sin doesn't have dominion over me. 1 Peter 2:11 says, abstain from fleshly lusts at war against your soul. There's moments that you'll be tested. They'll come. You'll have a test. It will come. When those tests come, if you're in love with God and you're filled with awe because of who he is and his kingdom and you're worshiping and you're praying, it'll be like the mosquito. It doesn't have power. You couldn't talk me into messing my life up down some inferior pleasure. Why would I ever do that? You know, over the course of my life, and as my wife knows full well, I have at times, I'll rehearse just for a moment what it would be like to backslide or to forfeit or to sin so much so that I would have to be removed as the pastor of this church. Why would you even say that? It's good to think about that. Why is that? Because you don't ever want to have that happen. So I think, oh, no. Destroy thousands of people. Destroy my marriage. Destroy friendships. Be removed. Have to go through some reconciliation plan and go to some recovery thing or something. Like, no. Uh-uh. I'm not doing that. I will never do that to you. I will never do it to you all. And you know why? Why? Because I'm going to stay on my knees having superior pleasures of God, and you're going to pray, and the devil's bound. Come on, somebody say amen. And I've set my life up. I've got accountability everywhere. You want to share something, dear? She's going to stay there and look pretty. We sin because we listen closely to what I'm about to say. I wish I could put it on the screen. We sin because we believe it'll provide pleasure superior to obeying God. Let me say that again in my deep God voice. People sin because they believe it'll provide pleasure superior to obeying God. And I will tell you now, it's a lie. It's a lie. Liar, liar. Soon, if you do that, your pants will be on fire. Liar, liar, pants on fire. It's not true. Yeah, but this doesn't happen. And I, look at that. You just need to be still and know that he's God. And you need to surrender the time frame of your life to him and love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And pay attention to the yapping lies of your fallen human nature and tell them to shut up. Come on, someone say shut up. You say, I got in trouble. Somebody said, well, shut up's a bad word. It's not if you're telling yourself to shut up. Some of you need to tell yourself. Some of you are like an adult child. Yeah, you've been just giving yourself whatever you want, my way or the highway, and now you're a little brat, except you're 50. You wonder why your marriage doesn't work. You don't know about denying yourself. You don't know about walking in new creation. Every whole world surrounds you. You're on your fifth marriage, maybe. Husband, wife, whatever. You're offending me. Somebody needs to haul off and hit you with the love of the Lord. So that you can be set free. You can be set free. You do not have to be tormented. You can be set free from your fallen human nature. Jesus did it for you. But you've got to obey him. And in obeying him is a great release of power. Joy unspeakable. Ephesians 4 and 22. Turn with me, please. The power of temptation. This is not Ephesians 4, 22. You're turning there. The power of temptation rests on the deceptive promise that sin will bring more satisfaction than living for God. It's not true. Ephesians 4:22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Everybody would say, put off your former way of life. Come on, put off your old self. Everybody say, put off your old self. Go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But encourage one of the daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You see, when you begin to dabble and you lose your awe of God and you get out from the place of intimacy with God, then you begin to end up in deception. You begin to end up out of left field somewhere. And you can point to the fact that you were church hurt. I don't know why you never hear people saying, I was bar hurt. Man, I was bar hurt. No kidding. You can get hurt anywhere. Welcome to humanity. I mean, the thing is, people are perfect in church. I hope you locked your cars. Some of you are like, doo-doo. Yeah, why? Because there's thieves that come here. Really? Yeah, you used to be one of them. People come in of all walks of life, and we're happy about that. Why? So they can hear the good news of Jesus, the good news of getting rid of your old self, the good news that you don't have to be broken, disgusted, oppressed. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus. You can be set free. And in the meanwhile, you might want to look into someone's car and rip off their phone or take something out of their car while you're still not sanctified yet. You steal from someone's car in this congregation, I would be concerned about you being disemboweled before you drive off of the property by the Lord. No fear of God. Cultivate the fear of the Lord. Cultivate the fear of God. Cultivate a newness. Encourage one another daily. That's what I'm trying to do to you now. I'm trying to encourage you. You don't have to be like David. Now, David turned and God forgive him, but you know, I think I'll look at this text one more time. How is it that David's forgiven, but he gets all the consequences? You see, we really want a cheap forgiveness, which is like, forgive me and then no consequences. Lord, forgive me and I don't want any of the consequences. I remember years ago when I was serving God with all my heart, but all my heart really is not true. There was hidden places in my heart that I wasn't quite aware of before I met Karen. And I wiped out. I went and did something that I shouldn't have done. It's my first year being saved. And man, I was so grieved. I was so grieved. I came to my senses after and I said, oh God, I'm so sorry, Lord. And I just felt like, you're a loser. You are a loser. I remember talking to this pastor, Jace Edwards, the Wainanalua Church in Hana, Maui. How many of you know where that is? Wow. And I told him what happened. He said, you get to experience another side of God's grace. I thought, what? He said, yeah. God's going to use you. And he said, you're going to be a trophy of his grace, Daniel. Now you get to experience his forgiveness and he's merciful. Man, it just hit me. Yet at the same time, I don't ever want to do that again. I didn't want to hurt God again. There's a setup out there for many to be destroyed. But if you love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, you won't go for that. You won't go for the trap that the enemy has. You won't do it. You won't because why would you do that? It's like the athlete trains. And he trains and he trains. He's in track and he's the number one track star in the school, and he's super fast. And he used to be dating this girl, Janet. If your name's Janet, don't be offended. And Janet just couldn't pull him away anymore. He didn't want to go do all that other stuff because he was now an athlete. He's now an athlete and he's on the varsity team and he's winning awards. And he's like, no, I don't have time for that, Janet. Janet says, oh, I'm going to do one more thing. He's not coming, so I'm going to do the favorite thing. I'm going to bake him a chocolate cake. Look at the biggest piece of 666 cake. And I'm a six-layer Satan cake. They serve it at a local restaurant down the street. Luciferian Delights. So she makes a 666 cake. And here he comes. There's Janet. Hey, Johnny, or whatever. I forgot what I was. Did we name him yet? All right, his name's Johnny. Johnny's. And there she's, hey, Johnny. Got your favorite cake. He's like, I'm not eating cake. I'm an athlete. And he runs off and won the race. You see, when you find God and he finds you and you give your heart to him, you will never go for the inferior pleasures of the world ever again. There's nothing that can compare to him. Nothing. It's how to keep yourself from sin. Be fascinated with God. Be fascinated with him. Lift your hands all across this place. Be fascinated with the Lord. John Piper said this, sin is what we do when our hearts are not satisfied with God. God is the most glorified in us when we are the most satisfied in him. Hebrews 11 and 25, choosing to suffer affliction than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. You don't have to be entrapped. You don't have to backslide. You can win your whole life. I've been doing it for 30 plus years. I'm not going to stop. Because there's nothing back there. There's nothing the world can offer me. There's nothing. There's nothing. God, we love you. If you don't know the Lord like that, and I'm not saying I've arrived, but forgetting that which lies behind, I press on to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and I've tasted and seen of things of God that are so far, so superior to this world. There's no comparison. Somebody said, how come you're so like you are? Because he saved me. He delivered me. And he lives on the inside of me. I've had victory in every fight I fight. That's not arrogance. It's confident in the word. God stands over it to see it performed. I'll never lose by the grace of God. Gonna overcome all of my life. Gonna forgive, walk in forgiveness. Gonna live in holiness and purity. Gotta have a shift on what you think holiness is. It's not some drudgery. It's beautiful. Free of condemnation, free of conviction. To lie in your bed at night or to weep as he whispers to you a secret to help somebody else, or the secret of the Lord he confides with those who fear him, to walk in that place. And like I said, I'm not saying I've arrived. John on the island of Patmos had a revelation. And the Lord said, John, come up higher. God's inviting you to come up higher. What will you do with that? Will you go? Or will you get your game controller out till your eyeballs fall out of your head? Can you imagine? Can you imagine what would happen in your life? What would happen in my life if we let go of all the distractions and went after God? I'm gonna go there. I'm going. I am redoubling my heart to go deeper and deeper after God. Why? Because I like it. It's really awesome. He is awesome. There's no one like him.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.